And now, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, a program committed to helping you contend for the faith and view current events through the lens of the Bible. Here's Jan Markell.
Welcome to part two of this particular program. And if you didn't hear part one, let me just briefly reset the stage. We have been playing some clips of a new radio drama, The Coming Global Transformation. And this is a radio production with a number of chapters. One of the producers is Jim Tetlow of Eternal Productions, eternal-productions.org. where you can listen to the entire presentation very easily on your computer. And we'll tell you about ordering CDs or MP3s of the production in just a moment or two. But here's the way I sort of open hour one for those of you new to the programming here. And that is that, many ministries, including this one, believe that probably the next significant happening on the time clock of things concerning the last days is a signless event called the rapture. And you won't find that word in the Bible, but you will find verses that talk about it. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We have another verse, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll refer to that in just a moment. The whole concept of the great catching away, the snatching up, caught up in the clouds to meet him in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, we don't know when it's going to be, but there are signs surrounding that since the rapture itself is signless, that we have to go by some signs in the Bible that are pointing to the coming tribulation. And so if the tribulation is near, how much sooner is the rapture upon us? Now, we can argue the timing of the rapture. We do not have time to do that today. My guest and I do believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, and I think this is something we shouldn't be arguing, fighting over, dividing over. I will say some of the emails I get that protest the timing of this reference, this incident, are absolutely livid that I would possibly hold to this theology as though I am president of the planet of the Flat Earth Society. Not sure why you feel so intensely you want to remove my blessed hope, and you say I'm just trying to escape all the horrible things that are outlined in the book of Revelation. No, it's the way I interpret the Bible, its hermeneutics, it's the way it is handled with apologetics. But again, we can be friends, folks, if you don't want to believe this way. With me is Jim Tetlow. He heads Eternal Productions, again, one of the producers of The Coming Global Transformation. Jim Tetlow, welcome back. What would you like to add to the discussion setting the stage for hour two?
Well, thanks for having me back. And just to let people know that this is a single MP3 audio CD. It's almost almost 3 hours, and deals with things like disclosure of extraterrestrial life, various prophecies like 2012, various things like apparitions, things like, of course, the gospel, and creation versus evolution. Deals with a lot of the questions, major questions that people have in these last days, as we approach what will be the coming global transformation. The world's going to be quite a bit different, according to Revelation 6 through 19, once the tribulation comes, and we believe the rapture precedes that. So the audio drama gives both sides for the listener. If you're a believer, but you're maybe skeptical about the rapture, this would be a good audio drama. If you're a believer, but you think that extraterrestrial life is truly, really extraterrestrial life and not spiritual, again, this would be a good audio drama to listen to. You can either obtain the MP3 from Jan Markell's ministry or our website. And if you don't have an MP3 player, you can listen online. All 21 scenes are streamed, so you can listen to it in little packets, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You don't have to listen to the whole three-hour drama at one time. So we did it that way because that way you can download to your iPod, and that way you can play it in the background if you're making lunch, and get little pieces of information and look them up. Check out what we say with the Word of God, because the Word of God is true, and it's our plumb line, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we want to always turn people to Jesus and his word.
Jim, if they have a new CD player or a newer model car, it will play an MP3. That's correct?
Yeah, newer computers, newer audio players, even some of the newer DVD players, and most of the newer cars. When I say newer, 3 to 5 years old or less, my 1996 Subaru does not. Okay,
well,
my old audio player does not, but my computer does. So.
Well, my 06 car does have MP3 capabilities. So,
okay.
Folks, you're going to have to check that out. It's not a traditional CD. We just don't want to get into, you order it, you can't play it, you want to return it. That's why we're spending extra time to explain there's a little extra technology involved in this for some people.
It's a single MP3 CD. And we did it that way instead of four audio CDs so that we had a nice, compact, concise way to spread the word, and also so that you can get copies in the mini jacket and hand out street witnessing or hand out to maybe an unsafe friend who's curious about these things.
Yeah, and if you do want to order that product, you can give my office a call. Monday through Friday is best, 763-559-4444. Let's move ahead. I'd like to hit on scene 13 because here, and folks, we're not playing this entire production. We can't possibly do that. This next segment is so important because this takes us to what is on the horizon. And that's going to be conflict in the Middle East and how that's going to play into the end time scenario.
We never did go to the creation seminar, but what that young man said affected both of us. And his sincerity and enthusiasm touched me in a special way. Even so, after that morning, Richard and I avoided conversations about faith for a while. We had a lot to mull over. Plus, over the past few months, we unintentionally started to drift apart. So before it got any worse, we decided that we needed to step back and just enjoy one another's company. After a while, things seemed to return to normal. We were both less anxious and actually started to enjoy life again. One of our old routines was to drive over to the local sports bar for dinner once a week. So we began going there again on a regular basis. And then one night, we were again confronted with prophecy.
Oh my gosh, Danielle, did you see that last play?
Did you just say my name? I thought you'd forgotten I was even here.
I'm sorry, honey, but this is one of the best games that I can remember. Oh, what? Why are they interrupting the game now?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Peter Grant. We're breaking into your regularly scheduled programming to bring you this important news alert. War has broken out in the Middle East between Israel and its neighbors. I repeat, Israel is at war with several of the nations that surround it, including Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan. We have a correspondent, Olivia Markel, who is standing by live in Tel Aviv. Olivia, what can you tell us about the situation at this hour?
Peter, we have reports that the Israelis are fighting on several war fronts, even as we speak. The Israeli news reports that the initial conflict began early this morning when missiles were launched from Syria and southern Lebanon into Israel. Hezbollah, the terrorist organization, is being blamed. However, Al Jazeera TV is stating that the Israelis were first to strike inside Syria, instigating the exchange. In any event, we do have confirmation that at least two missiles landing in Israel contain chemical warheads. I repeat, chemical warheads. One repeatedly struck near the city of Haifa, and the other reached the outskirts of Hedera, which is just 25 miles north of my current location. At this time, we have no specifics as to the extent of damages or loss of lives. Now, as a result of the chemical attack, the Israeli Defense Forces, this includes their entire Army, Air Force, and Reserves, have been mobilized. The retaliation of the IDF has been reported as, quote, with unprecedented force. Large explosions have been reported in southern Lebanon as well as in Syria, and several Arab news agencies have issued a recent statement that there have also been massive explosions in and around Damascus. Peter, this is a terrifying prospect. There are also reports that the IDF is battling Hamas in Gaza, and the Israeli News Service has declared that the IDF is now engaged in heavy fire with Jordan. This may well turn out to be the fiercest battle that the Jewish state has been involved in since the Yom Kippur War. That's all we know at this time. However, it could get worse at any moment. Olivia Markel in Tel Aviv. Back to you, Peter.
While no official statement from Washington has been issued, Homeland Security has raised their terrorist threat level to severe. And this just in, the UN Security Council is vehemently condemning Israel for bombing the heavily populated city of Damascus. While the UN statement does not include information as to the extent of the bombing, they are demanding an immediate ceasefire.
Danielle?
Yeah?
I hate to break our agreement, but I think we really need to call Steve and see what he has to say about this.
I agree. Here, you can use my cell.
Come on, Stephen, pick up.
Hi, you've reached the voicemail.
Oh, Richard, didn't you say Stephen was going to be on a missions trip?
Oh, you're right, I forgot.
Thanks, have a great day.
Hey, Steve, this is Richard. I know you're not at home, but please, give us a call as soon as you can. Danielle and I just heard about what's going on in the Middle East, and we want to know your take on it. Is this war mentioned in the Bible? Please, get back to us. We're trying to make sense out of this whole thing. Thanks.
Okay, Jim Tetlow, the ground zero for a lot of information and incidents that are going to be surrounding the last days, of course, is the epicenter of the Middle East. And I'm sure that's the thread you're trying to draw here, correct?
Yeah, you can't deal with the last days and the sequence of events without dealing with the fact that there are several wars prophesied to occur between Israel and their neighbors. Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, of course, Ezekiel 38 and 39. And so one thing we do is we include the full script with footnotes for every scene so that you can go and dig a little further, because there's a lot involved in this prophecy. We could spend a lot of time, we could spend the whole program on Psalm 83. But we believe that before the Magog invasion, the Psalm 83 confrontation will occur. And the reason is very simple. In Ezekiel 38, they're dwelling securely. Israel is prospering. They're in the center of the land. They have territory east of the Jordan. Those conditions have not yet been met. But after Psalm 83, they will expand, they will prosper, the wall will come down, and they will have a sense of peace and security, and that's when Russia, Iran, and the big players will attack. So we include this here. We believe that this particular battle is imminent, and we're not told whether the rapture is before or after this. As you mentioned, the rapture is imminent, but we include this here with footnotes in the script so that people, you know, when they hear this and when they see what's happening in the Middle East, it will authenticate the Word of God, and hopefully people will trust in the Savior, in Jesus Christ. So you can't, as you mentioned, Jen, you cannot deal with the coming global transformation without dealing with Israel. So we include insights in the prophecies regarding what's going to happen in Israel.
Well, I've been discussing the Arab Spring on this program almost endlessly because I feel it is so significant. And no, it's not a play for democracy over there. There are far greater goals, most of them sinister, going on. Globalists are involved over there trying to align nations to wipe out the very memory of Israel's existence. So, folks, keep your eyes on the Middle East. Honestly, it is the epicenter. You're going to learn a whole lot more about that if you attend Understanding the Times 2011, October 7th and 8th, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, a southwest suburb of Minneapolis. And talking about that and many other issues, Joel Rosenberg, Brandon House, Bill Koenig, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Eric Barger. I'll be there kind of coordinating some of the issues of that weekend. Let's move on. We have perhaps one of the most important chapters of the drama coming up here because, in a puff, all sorts of people are going to vanish in plain sight.
Richard and I appreciated how Stephen went out of his way to come and speak with us. And as we would soon discover, he hit the nail on the head when he spoke about what he thought would happen next. In the days that followed, many thousands of Jews would return to their homeland, and oddly, as Israel prospered, the world's hatred against them would also increase. For Richard and I personally, it almost seemed like a dream. On the one hand, there was a strange sense of peace, perhaps because it seemed that God was in control. But on the other hand, we felt anxiety brewing just below the surface, an apprehension for what might happen next. Personally, I resigned to try and not worry about it, because either way, it was out of our hands.
Hey, honey, it's me.
Are you on your way home yet?
Yeah, I am, but I noticed the bag of clothes in our back seat. You wanted me to drop that off at the Salvation Army, right?
If you wouldn't mind making a stop.
I'm one step ahead of you. I'm pulling up to Pastor Johnson's church right now. They've got a donation bin in their parking lot. So when I get home, I was thinking that maybe you'd want to go out to... Whoa! Danielle, did you feel that? I don't know why, but I've got a feeling that for some reason something just happened.
Yeah, I felt something weird too.
It was like time just stopped for a second.
Yeah.
Danielle, I need to go. Some guy just wrapped his car around a tree. I gotta call 911. Oh, are you serious? 911 is busy? Sir, are you okay? What?
Richard? Richard,
Pastor
what's going
Johnson,
on here?
I
the driver?
I don't know. He was in the car. I saw a man driving the car, but now he's gone. There's no blood. There's nothing.
People don't just disappear, Richard.
Look, Pastor Johnson, I think I know what's happening. Stephen's been telling me, my brother. He's been trying to warn me about...
Please, try to calm down. Richard.
Oh, Richard.
Richard, there's nothing more we can do here. Now, why don't you come into the church? I've got a police scanner in my office.
Okay, but first I need to call my brother.
All right, okay.
Come on, Stephen, please, God. Please, God.
Are you all right?
Please, God, let Stephen be there.
You reached the voicemail of Stephen Spencer. I'm not here to take your call, but if you leave your name and number, I'll get back to you. Thanks, and have a great day.
Steve, it's me. You've got to call me back right now. Something has happened. I don't know what to make of it. I'm at our old church right now with Pastor Johnson. I've got my cell phone with me, so call me back immediately.
No luck?
No.
Okay. Well, Richard, look. Let's go inside. I got the scanner in there. We'll turn it on. We'll see what's going on.
Okay.
This way.
Oh, my God.
It's just down this hall. Follow me. Okay, right in here in my office. Let me see if I get that. Okay, let's get this thing on. There it is, I think.
Come again, Unit 12.
Yeah.
People are missing.
Okay.
That's right, dispatch. I'm in City District 6, and several people have just... disappeared. There's an accident, but no occupant. Oh. Two pedestrians injured. We've got unmanned vehicles and people are going crazy. My partner is gone, and I need immediate backup to 4th and Main.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Unit 12, confirm. Officer down.
What's happening?
Negative, dispatch. He's not down. My partner is gone. Unit 12, there's no available backup or ambulance. You're going to have to do whatever you need to maintain order.
I can't believe this is happening, Pastor Johnson. I think this was the rapture.
No, Richard, just calm down.
I can't calm down. How can someone calm down when this is...
Calm down. Is your wife okay? Danielle.
But Danielle, Yes, yes, she's okay. She's home safe. Look, I'm just worried about Stephen
right
now.
So try to calm down, Richard. Okay? Look, have a seat. I think I know what's going on here. Let me read to you a portion of Psalm 37.
Okay.
Sit down. It says, soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. But Richard, I and many of my colleagues have been anticipating a cleansing, a purging. I believe this may be the beginning.
But that doesn't make any sense. Pastor Johnson, Stephen wasn't wicked. Are you trying to say that Stephen was wicked?
Stephen was a good boy growing up.
Oh, come on.
But when he got older, he really changed.
Pastor Johnson.
A couple of years ago, he came to speak with me and tried to convince me of his views on prophecy. He even tried to tell me that many of the people from my congregation were going to hell if they didn't turn from their sins and trust in Jesus alone.
But
Richard, I don't want to imply that Stephen was wicked.
But
perhaps God knew he couldn't be molded anymore. I don't know. But he did seem narrow-minded.
Look, Pastor Johnson, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but Stephen is the most sincere person I know. He's shown me a lot of passages from the Bible, and I think he's right. The only way to be truly saved is to repent and trust in the Lord.
Richard, you are entitled to your opinion, but there are other prophecies that foretold of a purging, which would prepare the way for a new era of peace on earth.
Well, I believe that those are deceptions. Stephen quoted Jesus saying that there would be great deception in his name in the last days. Look, and Stephen even warned that spiritual leaders, even professing Christians, Pastor, would twist the Bible to explain away the rapture. What just happened was the rapture, Pastor Johnson. I'm sure of it.
Well, if that's the case, then have you done what your brother suggested?
What?
Did you repent and trust in Jesus?
Well,
And if you did, and this was the rapture, then why are you still here?
I don't know, okay? Look, I just gotta go.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, your host here. This is not Orson Welles. This is not anything far out. It is a radio drama based on what probably is going to happen. We don't know when. Anybody tries to put a date on something like this, date setters, run from them because they are definitely false teachers. Jim Tetlow is my guest. He is one of the producers of the radio drama, The Coming Transformation. Jim Tetlow, Mr. Secret Sensitive Pastor there, referring to these pesky prophecy people Stephen, yourself, and myself.
Yeah, it's interesting. Those who do not believe in the rapture, some of them actually quote some scriptures out of context to say that it's going to be the wicked.
Yeah.
There will be a rapture, but it's the wicked who will be removed. And he quoted Psalm 37. There's also Proverbs 10, verse 30 that some quote. And Matthew 13, where Jesus talks about the tares are the sons of the wicked one and that the angels will remove the tares. So before the kingdom of heaven is established. And so they do acknowledge there'll be some kind of removal, some kind of rapture, but they don't say it's the rapture of born-again believers who have repented and put their trust in Jesus, and Jesus is taking them to heaven. But rather, they say God is removing them for judgment, and he's going to usher in his kingdom peace and prosperity on earth. And, of course, this will set people up for the Antichrist and the Queen of Revelation 17, who are going to promise peace and prosperity, and of course that will not last long, as Paul says, for when the world says peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them like a woman in travail, and they shall not escape. So what we, in the audio drama, we try to give the listener some of the different explanations that are already out there.
Mm-hmm.
Jan, it's interesting, Satan does not counterfeit the Quran or the sayings of Buddha or Confucius or the Hindu Vedas. He counterfeits the Bible. Why? Because he knows it's the word of truth. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, Jesus quoted the scriptures three times. We have the word of truth, and Jesus said, you know, if we abide in his word, we'll know the truth. The truth will make us free. And that's our exhortation for people.
Jim, we're going to try to squeeze in scene 16 right now because our time's running out again.
Okay.
So go ahead. Let's do 16.
As I was to learn from Richard later, he was really upset by Pastor Johnson's comments. He had heard people put down his brother's biblical views before, but never once had anyone referred to Stephen as wicked. And at the same time, Richard was really disturbed by the comments that Pastor Johnson directed at him. If he truly believed that Stephen was right, why hadn't he done anything about it?
Oh! Pastor Johnson is so wrong about Stephen. But he's right about me. Why am I so stubborn? I know what Steve said is true. I know it. I know it in my heart.
If what I'm telling you is nothing more than a fairy tale, then you have nothing to worry about, to worry about, to worry about. But if this event does take place, then it will prove to you that the Bible is true, is true, is true. If you were to die today and be found guilty as a liar, adulterer, and blasphemer, do you think you would go to heaven, go to heaven, go to heaven, or hell, or hell? Well, the more important question is, what if God's word is true, is true, is true, is true?
Oh, Lord, why have I been so stubborn? I've resisted you even though you've been calling me. God, I know that I've rebelled against you and broken your commandments. Please. Please forgive me, Lord. Please. I was afraid. I saw what Stephen was going through to follow you, and I guess I just wasn't ready to give up control of my life. But I am now. Lord, I hope it's not too late. I am sorry for my sins. Thank you for dying for me. Lord, please save me. Thank you. Lord, I don't know what's coming, but whatever it is, I want to place my total trust in you from now on.
We're going to be wrapping this up on the other side of the bottom of the hour break. Again, we're playing clips from a new radio drama called The Coming Global Transformation, produced in part by Jim Tetlow of Eternal Productions. Learn more at eternal-productions.org. You can call my office Monday through Friday is best. You can order this in MP3 form, 763-559-5000. 844-44, 763-559-4444. 44. Also going to talk about what's the difference between this rapture and the second coming that we find in the Bible. There is a distinct difference, huge difference, and it confuses a lot of people. We'll be back after just a couple of minutes. Please don't go away.
God is using Understanding the Times to help change lives all over the world. Rebecca writes from Portland, Oregon, "Everyone should hear the inconvenient truth Jan talks about. It enables me to discern the times." This from Peter in Washington State, "When I need a dose of reality that still offers hope, I tune in to Understanding the Times Radio." Jan Markell is committed to discerning the truth and sharing the good news. And while the gospel is free, the means to deliver it is not. Your gift to Understanding the Times is fully tax deductible and helps ensure that we're able to continue to reach people through radio and other media. You can send your gift to P.O. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or call 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Of course, you can always give safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org.
Welcome back to Jan Markell's Understanding the Times. Here once again is Jan Markell.
Welcome to the last segment of this program, and we've been featuring for the last 90 minutes clips of the new radio drama, The Coming Global Transformation. And this is a product that you can purchase if you would like to. You can get it at my website or by calling my ministry, Olive Tree Ministries. It's in MP3 form. MP3s play on newer CD players, play on an iPod, they play on a computer, and they will play in newer models of automobiles. Otherwise, if you none of those qualify, then you need an MP3 player, and it is almost a three-hour drama. Obviously, we're only playing bits and pieces as we head into the territory of apologetics here for this particular two-hour program. And yes, we have been dealing with the topic of the imminent rapture of the church. That's a signless event, so we don't know when that's going to happen. After that happens, those who hold to my theology and that of my guest Jim Tetlow believe that the tribulation shortly after that, we don't know how long after that is going to ensue. And obviously we're covering that pesky little topic of eschatology again. Why? And I don't say these things to necessarily make excuses, because this topic is so essential. It occupies one-third of the Bible. The people of our Lord's day greeted one another with the term Maranatha. That's a word that means he is coming. They were longing for his return then, and actually the end times began at the cross. However, the Bible indicates that they will intensify greatly. There will come a time that is the last of the last days, and certain signs will tell us that we're there. The regathering of Israel, the increase of apostasy in the church, all sorts of things, from cataclysmic type of weather to the rise of the occult, to the rise of a global government system. When you see these things begin to sort of shape up, that means time is winding down. And so Jim Tetlow has produced this radio drama that, again, both ministries carry, and you can learn more at eternal-productions.org. And we find it to be a very powerful witnessing tool. It's just under 3 hours. I'm obviously only playing short clips of the presentation to indicate to you that if you have someone in your life that would receive this well, that you think about ordering it and giving it to them. Jim Tetlow, what do you have to add here?
I think we should play scene 17, because it really deals with the rapture and what some of the excuses are going to be afterwards.
When Richard returned home, I expected him to be frantic. But when he walked through the door, he was surprisingly calm. He gave me a long hug and told me that he loved me. And then he said something that was totally unexpected. He said that he had repented and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I didn't know what to say, so I just broke down and cried. I thought we were a team. How could he make a decision like this without talking to me, especially in light of everything that was happening? I love Richard with all my heart, but now I'm not even sure I know who he is. As the days passed by, we never heard from Stephen. This made Richard even more confident that the rapture had occurred and that his brother was now with God. I could tell that Rich was still concerned about Stephen, but in another way, he had an inner peace that I had never seen in him before, an assurance that, quite frankly, I couldn't understand. Not long after the disappearance, there was a panel of spiritual authorities discussing the event on a special TV program. Rich and I were both very interested to see what viewpoints they would hold.
Good evening. This is Charles Livingston. Due to the recent and unprecedented events that have occurred on a global scale, we bring you this special edition of Livingston Live, with the hope of providing some answers to what remains a mystery. We have been inundated with emails from people all over the world who claim to have lost a loved one in this mass disappearance or vanishing, as it were. So the question begs, what are we looking at? What has happened to the millions of people who seem to have simply vanished off the face of the earth? Where did they go? Young people, old people, healthy, the infirm, from all cultures and walks of life, all around the globe have just disappeared. Tonight, on this special edition of Livingston Live, we've assembled a panel of experts and respected faith leaders who will, hopefully, shed some light on this unsettling and deeply troubling event. Our guests tonight include quantum cosmologist and respected author Dr. James Thornburg, Father Francis Banning, who is a Catholic priest and expert on the paranormal realm, Dr. Donna Miller, a leading spokesperson from the Universalist community, Pastor Jacob Warner, Christian motivational speaker and best-selling author, and last but certainly not least, Dr. Michael Sabina, world-renowned authority on UFOs and alien abductions. Dr. Sabina, I'd like to begin with you. You recently stated that faith in extraterrestrials would ultimately eclipse all other religious views. What did you mean by that, and what are your thoughts on this disappearance?
Thank you, Charles. As most of your audience already knows, even before the disappearance, there were daytime UFO sightings seen on live television around the world. And Charles, what many may not be aware of is that this phenomenon is not new. Ever since the beginning of recorded history, many cultures have written about advanced beings coming from the heavens to interact with man. The ancient records of the Sumerians, Babylonians, Greeks, Romans, Mayans, and Native Americans are just a few examples. I believe that these same highly evolved beings are now openly assisting mankind once again because we have reached a crucial point in man's evolution. You see, we are beginning to realize that it was those advanced beings that initially seeded the human race. And because these beings were considered gods to the ancients, this, of course, was the foundation for all the major religions in the world. And now, Charles, we are ready for our next stage of evolution. The time for religion and myths is over. I believe our space brothers have extracted all those not able to proceed as an evolutionary step. Survival of the spiritually fittest, you might say. This is what the disappearance was all about.
That's a most interesting theory, Dr. Sabina. Dr. Miller, you're a woman of faith. I'd like to address the next questions to you. How do you explain the disappearance? And if Dr. Sabina's conjectures are correct, and the Bible and other religious books are simply the outgrowth of legends, wouldn't this destroy the faith of your congregation?
Charles, please give us a little more credit than that. In my congregation, we believe that the Bible teaches principles that mankind should live by, but it isn't meant to be taken literally. So whether we evolved or were seeded by advanced life, it really doesn't matter. The important thing is that we all love one another the way the scriptures say we should. And as for the disappearance, well, I think the important thing to note is that we are all still here. You know, in my fellowship, I am very proud to say that we didn't lose a single member. So, whatever we're doing it right. But you know, in the long run, life's a learning experience for all of us, and ultimately, I believe we'll all be reunited in heaven.
Dr. Miller, as always, you seem to have an open-minded perspective. Let's hope you're right. I must say that this has been a most distressful time, especially for those of us who have lost loved ones. We certainly need hope and a true peace plan. Dr. Thornburg, you seem to be somewhat vexed by these comments.
Well, to be perfectly frank, I think that putting the entire responsibility of this situation in the lap of extraterrestrials or apparitions is ludicrous. I believe science may provide us with the answers we are looking for. The disappearances may have been caused by a sudden shift in the space-time continuum, a tear in the fabric of time. This may be in part due to recent experiments at Geneva, Switzerland.
Our last guest tonight is Jacob Warner. He is the pastor of one of the largest and most prosperous churches in the world. Jacob, you've been a guest on this program many times before. What is your view on the disappearance?
I was wrong.
Pastor Warner, can you be a little more specific?
Of course. I'm sorry. See, for years, I told my congregation that Jesus paid the price on the cross so that they could be totally free from such things as poverty, poor health, and low self-esteem. I promised them a good life. However, I didn't explain sin, righteousness, or the coming judgment, or anything about...
If I may interrupt, Pastor Jacob, do you believe that the disappearance was the rapture spoken of in the Bible?
Yes, I'm now convinced that it was. You see, though I avoided teaching Bible prophecy, Scripture states that true believers would be taken up, and that's exactly what's happened. Every sincere believer that I know has vanished from this world. But those of us with a superficial faith, well, we're still here. You see, Charles, I had taught my congregation for years about a formula for temporary success. But sadly, I never focused on eternal life. I've since repented of this, and I've now placed all my faith in our Creator, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Excuse me.
Who paid the price for my sins on the cross and then rose victoriously from the dead.
Excuse me, Mr. Warner. As I mentioned earlier, not a single member of my church is gone, so I have to disagree with your repent and be saved attitude. In addition, I'd like to point out that China and even some Muslim nations have reported that millions of their citizens have disappeared. So it would seem that your secret rapture where Jesus snatches away only those Christians who are ready and waiting doesn't agree with the facts.
That's a good point, Dr. Miller. Jacob, how do you respond?
Well, the media rarely reports on it, that in these last days the gospel is spreading all around the world, just as Jesus foretold. Portions of the Bible have been translated into thousands of languages and made available to every nation on earth. And by the grace of God, multitudes from every nation have placed their faith in the Messiah. So why were these people taken? It's simple. They were true believers who placed their faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that's exactly what I'd like to talk to your listeners about now, Charles, if I may.
All very interesting. We'll be back after this.
You know, Danielle, I always thought that Jacob Warner was one of those slick TV preachers, but, well, now he seems sincere. I think he might be truly saved. And what he said sounds right. I remember once Stephen saying that the church in China probably had more true Christians than there are in the U.S. What do you think about all this?
Rich, I honestly don't know what to think. Each one of them had their own theory. So how does that help anyone? All it does is make me more confused. Honestly, I don't see how I can put my trust in any one of them.
Honey, look, I know you're upset, but what you just said was right. You're not supposed to be trusting in any person. What you need to do is hear from God.
And how am I supposed to do that? You know, Rich, I love you, and I'm glad you seem to have such a peace. But I'm more confused than ever. And if we keep talking, I might say something I'm going to regret.
Honey.
Listen, I really just need to get some sleep. And please don't turn on the radio. The last thing I need right now is to hear more theories.
This is Understanding the Times Radio, in case you're totally puzzled what's being aired these 2 hours. Playing some clips from the radio drama called The Coming Global Transformation, Eternal Productions. Well, you know him through God of Wonders DVD and other products as well. Jim Tetlow has contributed heavily to this production. It's a very effective witnessing tool. It's just under 3 hours long. Therefore, you can tell we're just playing some clips from it to Jim, we need to reference what just happened here by way of the clip that we played, and that's a finite man trying to explain away what has happened. They're blind as bats, other than the seeker-sensitive pastor there who really has an understanding. Somehow he gets it.
What we do is we deal with several of the explanations. It's interesting that there are explanations in place today before the rapture occurs. If the rapture wasn't real, why would the enemy, why would the world come up with these explanations? One of them is the scientific explanation. You know, there might be a wormhole or some kind of tear in the fabric of time. Another is the extraterrestrial UFO explanation that we've been removed to another planet. We weren't able to evolve or go to the new age or the next step, and so Mother Earth has cleansed herself. The apparitions provide an explanation. And then, of course, the Bible gives an explanation that the Lord himself would come. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And so that's one of the many references. There's also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There is, of course, John chapter 14, where Jesus says that he's gone to prepare a place for us. And if he goes, he's coming again to receive us unto himself. Well, where's he right now? He's in heaven. And the Bible says we're going to meet him in the clouds first. And so, and also Revelation chapter 4, after the seven churches, which I believe represent the church age, then the scene goes into heaven. But before that, John is caught up. A door opens in heaven, and a voice says, "Come up here." And John is immediately in the presence of heaven. And then Revelation 6 through 19 deal with the tribulation on the earth. And in Revelation 6 through 18, there's not a single mention of the church. We, for many different reasons, we believe that the rapture is not only real, but it is a pre-tribulation event. And so even professing Christians have come up with different reasons that, yes, there will be a removal, but it won't be a removal of the church. It will be a removal of the evil. And like you said, Jan, we you know, there are sincere believers who believe in a pre-trib or a mid-trib or a pre-wrath or a post-wrath. We should not divide about that. We should preach the gospel. We should love our brothers and sisters. But we need to preach the whole counsel of God, and we can't ignore all these scriptures on the rapture.
Jim, we need to give a real quick explanation of why the rapture and the second coming are distinctly different events. We are down to just a few minutes.
The Bible says at the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, John chapter 14, that Christ comes for his bride. He comes for his church. But when Jesus comes back to earth, it says in Jude 14 and in Revelation chapter 1 that Christ comes with his own to the earth. So there's two different occasions. In the rapture, he comes in the air. In the glorious appearing or the second coming, he comes to the earth, according to Zechariah 14 and Acts 1. In the rapture, he comes to claim his bride. But in the second coming, he returns to earth with his bride. In the rapture, it says, only those who are his own will see him. No one else will see this. But in the second coming, it says in Matthew 24, Revelation 1, Colossians 3, that every eye shall see him. In the rapture, it says that we are saved and delivered from wrath, but the unsaved will experience the wrath of God. At the rapture, Jesus comes as a thief. It's a surprise. But at the second coming, there's global war. There's Armageddon. Most of the world's been destroyed. No one is going to be asleep or as the days of Noah. There will be no more complacency. But at the rapture, people are carrying on and apathetic, and it takes them as a thief, according to Jesus. So there's two distinct events here. We could share other scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I do have an article called The Rapture that goes through some of these at eternal-productions.org. Click on articles. Click on the rapture article, and you can look up the scriptures. That's why the Bible calls this our blessed hope, because we're looking up, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, you can also go to olivetreeviews.org and go to Bible-related news, and then click on Prophecy Watch and a number of articles. I think I might have between 50 and 75 articles that would be probably helpful for folks if, in fact, you're still puzzled by some of this. And I know that I am not ashamed to talk about this issue. I guess I kind of figure that most churches are, and most radio ministries, that that's not to put them down whatsoever, but this is a topic that they do not want to go near. Jim Tetlow, I want to thank you. I want to just say this here before we take off, and I want to say to the audience, what choice you make as it concerns eternity is the most important one in your entire life, because eternity in the wrong place is unthinkable. We talk about a lot of issues here on Understanding the Times Radio, but they are reduced to nothing compared to this issue here. Having an eternal perspective means evaluating the beliefs, events, and decisions of life from God's point of view. It is using God's values as the measuring stick with which to evaluate life. It is recognizing that everything done in the present has an eternal consequence and should be evaluated in that light. Folks, this life is transitory. This life is only a prelude to eternity. If you are uncertain about this, please seek out a friend or a pastor with whom you can discuss eternal issues and your relationship to the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it today, because tomorrow may be too late. In the meantime, look back and thank him. Look around, serve him. Look ahead, trust him. Look up and expect him. He is coming, perhaps today. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
If Jan Markell's radio outreach has helped you understand the times, would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries? You could write to Box 1452, that's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, or call 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can also order and donate securely at olivetreeviews.org. And thanks for listening to Understanding the Times.